Good morning. You are listening to EAA Radio on 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and on the web at www.airventure.org. And that's the... it's okay. We have phones go off all the time, and then when they're our own, it's even more fun. I'm Magneto Mel, and I'm joined here in the studio by Dynamic Mike.
Good morning, Mel.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
And Mike is one of our new blood here at EAA Radio. So
I'm a rookie, and I've been the intrepid field reporter here for the last few days. So this is a welcome.
It's nice to be in the air conditioning, huh?
Welcome change. Welcome change to be back in the. It's distant. See, this studio stuff, it's new to me. It's a welcome change to be in the air conditioning.
Yes. It's a mouthful, huh? Well, this morning we've got our Push to Talk ATC Hour, and we are joined by, you know, and I don't want to say your last names incorrectly, so Carrie and Jen. Carrie...
Upvis.
Okay. I wasn't sure quite how to pronounce that. And Jen McCoy. And what facility are you guys with the air traffic control?
Well, I'm Jen McCoy. Good morning. And I'm at Fort Worth Center.
Okay.
And I'm Carrie Uppas, and I'm at St. Paul Tower.
All right. And how long have you guys been doing what you've been doing?
I have. I came in straight to Fort Worth Center about 7 years ago.
Okay.
7.5 years.
Great. And I know one of the things that we've been talking about here is staffing. I know with the mandatory, well, like, not necessarily mandatory at 56, because I understand there's a waiver that you can mm-hmm. get now, but we're having a little bit of an issue with nice experienced controllers leaving and the new ones coming in not necessarily able to come up to the speed of what's been left behind by the ones that are going. Can you talk a little bit about how that maybe has affected your facilities or the area in general, field in general?
Well, yeah. An example in my facility, when I hired in 7 years ago, I was one of the only trainees, maybe 20 in the building, and we had about 370 controllers. And you walk in the building today, we have about 330 controllers. Of those, 80 are trainees. It takes about 3 years to check out. So when you walk in, I mean, you look around and a bunch of people are plugged in behind the controllers watching, and it's a whole different atmosphere, and everyone's new and learning, and it's just a whole new thing.
And that... the more trainees that you have in a facility, actually, you talked about 3 years checking out in a center, the more trainees that you have, the less actual hours there are for trainees per person, so it's going to end up taking longer. So it's pretty difficult right now.
Right. On my crew, our crews are by days off and by the airspace that we work, and a couple of years ago, it's pretty normal to have about 7 people per crew. And my crew now has 5 certified controllers and 1 instructor, which is me, and I have 2 trainees. So, you know, how does that going to work? I don't know. We're trying to figure that out.
And how does that go when you get a new trainee? What's kind of the procedure?
Okay, they come in the door. Well, at the center, and it's going to be a little bit different for Carrie and her facility, but at the center, they come in, they go up to the training department, and they have a lot of maps and frequencies and all sorts of book work, and that takes several months. And they stay up there and they go through some simulator type problems, and I would say after maybe 5 months to 6 months, they go down to the floor and we start training them on the job.
Carrie, do you have trainees as well?
Actually, we do right now. We have 2. We're expecting 2 more. I'm actually at a much smaller facility. We have 14 controllers right now. So so our percentage is quite high, and we're expecting more folks, I guess. And I think their push may be to staff all the smaller facilities and then move the newer people into the larger facilities. It seems like that's the plan anyway, because we don't need 19 controllers at our tower.
Right, so. And that's a whole nother issue that's been very difficult. In Dallas, for the first time, they've put new hires directly into, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth Tower and Approach Control, and they don't know how to train new hires. The center, we've been doing it for a long time. We have a very, you know, our training program, it takes anyone from 3 to 5 or maybe even more years to check out, and they walk them through it. But traditionally, up until now, at the Approach Control in the tower, everyone that they get is experienced, and they have a good basic understanding. They came from smaller facilities, they've moved up, and now they're just getting people right off the street that have never talked to an airplane before. So they have to totally revamp all of their training and try to figure that out and get these people trained. And at the same time, you know, here we are, you're taxiing around at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and, you know, 20-year-old trainees working your airplanes, it's a little It's different.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be. So not only do you have a lack of, not I wouldn't say a lack, but a diminishing experience in mm-hmm. your actual staff and your controllers, but also in the people who would train them to get up to speed. So it's kind of a compound problem.
Oh, it's a huge problem. And, you know, like I said, 80 trainees and lots more coming in just a wave of retirements. If we could hold on to some of those people that are retiring just a little bit longer and let them help us train.
And that's why the waiver was implemented, to your knowledge, or?
Well, I'm sure. You know, they're going to do anything they can. It's
they're
it's
offering
a bad
incentives
situation.
And a number of things right now. You know, and I know it's different at all the centers. At maybe Miami Center, they have less than 300 controllers and over 100 trainees. So it's the ratio is it's immense. I mean, it's the problem is tremendous.
And it's difficult. You know, as a controller, when I go in and I have to train somebody every day, it's a lot more stressful than when I actually work an airplane. I've got a few years under my belt. I feel pretty confident I can sit down and talk to a plane and tell them where to go, and it's usually going to run pretty smoothly. But when I'm sitting behind somebody that's just walked in the door without really much of a screen anymore, they just, you know, they're just putting them all in there. You're constantly behind, you know, just about to key up all the time, just wondering what's going to come out of their mouth at the same time, trying to watch the 20 planes on the scope and just ready to jump in at any moment. It's a whole new, you know, it's much,
you have to
much
give
harder.
Them the opportunity to see if they can do it, but where is the point where you have to? And when you
right.
have someone
mm-hmm.
who has no prior experience, you have no idea what's going on in their head. You don't, you know, I mean, when they come to an airport like ours, it's a lot less to learn, but there's still, you know, we separate airplanes more like here at Oshkosh rather than, I mean, we're a VFR tower. So it's like, okay, well, how far are they going to go before I have to?
Right.
It is a little nerve-wracking.
It's constant, and it's a lot of stress, and we train every single day, and there's not much of a break from it at all. So everybody's getting really worn out, and it's just the beginning. I mean,
which is forcing more people
years.
To leave, I think.
It's going to be years and years to recover from the situation that we're in. It's not going to get any easier. It's actually going to be kind of interesting in 3 years to see the people that just checked out, brand new certified controllers, having to turn around and train the new people again. And I'm, you know, trying to look at it and see how are we going to avoid that, because it's not really the best option. But the only way we're going to be able to avoid that is to try to retain some of the people that can stay but are eligible to retire.
You know, I'd like to believe, and tell me, since you watch these trainees come in, I'd like to believe that young people who are acculturated to dividing their attention in as many ways mm-hmm. as my own teenage children are, for example, are maybe more adept at the skills necessary to be a really effective controller. I'd like to believe that. So what have you observed in the people that are coming in?
Well, you know, I've only been here 7 years, so it's hard for me to say, to compare the new generation of controllers to that 15 years ago. We have some great students coming in, students that have graduated the CTI programs, and that they're doing a great job. Really smart kids, really enthusiastic, and they're going to be really good. The skills that it takes to be a controller, you know, it's kind of interesting. The multitasking that you're referring to, yeah, you need that. There's a certain way you look, you can see three-dimensionally, you think logically. Those skills almost are inherent in people. It's not really something that seems to be able to be taught. So fortunately, I think most people that want to go into this line of work probably have some of that, or they wouldn't want to.
You find many common threads, right?
Yeah,
between
yeah.
controllers, we have a lot more similarities than differences.
Yeah, I was listening to you, I was thinking of the flight instructor sitting in the right seat, not having to do the same thing. Let them mm-hmm. let them learn the skill, let them do it, but you're not quite, I guess for the new flight instructor especially, not quite sure when to step in. But we got to take a quick break here, and we'll be back. You're listening to EAA Radio, and we're speaking with Carrie Uppas and Jen McCoy. With the National Air Traffic Controllers Association here on the ATC Push to Talk Hour.